Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is Lee Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
I'm Josh Giddey, and I'm down to dunk.
Hey, this is Kenny Hussle, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Darius Baisley, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Poku, and I'm down to dunk.
I love cereal. Captain Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Oh, I can have these? I'm going to share with my team, but I'm a hog most of them.
Good morning and welcome to episode one. One. Ha! Seven of down. Two. Dunk. I don't have the stuff in front of me that I'm supposed to read. Joined this morning by Andrew.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Slam through.
Taylor.
Feeling hot. Feeling hot.
Thanks for the inspo, L man. Slam through.
And Jay.
Oh no. Jay, you're muted.
Jay.
Muted.
And Jay!
Oh Lord.
Long-awaited return of Jay.
You have to say it's Jay again.
I'm not muted.
I know, you're not anymore. Now.
No, I wasn't muted. Somebody muted me.
You have to say it's Jay again, though. Still.
It's Jay again.
No, it's Jay. No, Jay.
We did it. No,
Jay, God.
He's back and better than ever.
God, he's rusty. Jay, you are rusty.
I wasn't muted on my end. Nothing I controlled was muted.
No one could hear you. You were muted.
Okay. Well, we are just a few days away from the lottery. You should join us.
I'm nervous.
Tuesday night, May 17th.
Jones.
At the Jones Assembly in downtown OKC. Where we will have a lottery party from 6 to 9. Show up early if you would like a spot to sit. If you don't care about sitting and you just want to nervously pace around, I'm sure there will be paceable areas for you.
There definitely will be.
Show up around 6. So
yeah, and we're going to be on the patio, and so prepare accordingly, which is just to the west of the main dining space.
Dress accordingly.
So I mean, it's covered, and but
it'll be hot.
I don't think the weather really will affect it too much. Like, it's pretty controlled, but I think there may be a separate entrance on the west side of the Jones Assembly. So anyway, just a heads up, we'll get more info and pass that along as we hear more details.
And I know we've mentioned this before, but as Luke said, dress appropriately, and that means you have to wear clothes.
Yeah.
You cannot show up naked. I know we've addressed this before, but we keep having this issue at events, and you've got to come wearing clothes.
Okay.
No shoes, no service situation. Yeah.
What he really means is be sure you don't wear the same clothes you wore to the lottery last year.
Yes.
Like everybody.
Clothes.
We've got to shift the karma somehow.
Yeah.
And part of it is don't wear the same clothes. If you show up wearing the same shirt, it's not going to go good for us.
Okay, I have a question. Do you think last year clothes in general was the problem? And that maybe this year we shouldn't wear clothes for karma?
No, stop. Stop making weird naked jokes.
For karma's sake.
Gotta stop. No, it's not funny.
We need naked karma.
Stop it. Okay, but
do you remember what you wore last year, Andrew?
Yeah, I do. I wore my Too Good to Tank shirt.
Done. Ooh, that could be what I wore too. I'm not wearing that one, and I'm not wearing the one Taylor's wearing, which is the MTV DTD shirt, because it was one of those two. Those were my go-tos, and so I'm probably going old school Down to Dunk. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah,
man.
It's a good palate cleanser.
The problem a little bit with all these things is the common denominator. These all are clothes that you guys are naming.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Luke.
So you think we should wear Down to Dunk memorabilia? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, guys. No. Clothes.
Let's spin
it. Is what I'm saying. Stop it. I feel like I've been clear.
No. Okay. We're going to do a tankathon spin. All the marbles have been placed into this basket.
Guys, just remember, I have, if this goes wrong,
I got loose marbles. No loose marbles.
Yeah. All right. I've got, it's not loose. It's pretty tight, packed up in there.
All right. Here we go. Close your eyes for this lottery sim. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And the Thunder get the second pick. You don't even need, you can release the marble. Okay. This is a fine spin. Okay. So Houston, number one, OKC two, the Knicks third. They jump up from, where were they? 10th? 11?
11?
Jeez.
Yeah. And it all feels- this is a really good one. This is a really good spin. Then we got the 12th pick. So 2 and 12. Jay, who do you like at two? Let's say, I'll bet you they would take Jabari, maybe.
Houston at number one?
Yeah.
So if I'm left with Chet or Paolo, I'm taking Paolo.
Mm. Tell me why, Jamon.
So here's the deal. I do listen to you and Mikele on Monday. Like, I think you're right. Like, potential ceiling, Chet is all of those things. But he also, to me, has a pretty scary floor. Of literally not being able to play in the NBA. And so for me, is I wonder if the potential for greatness is that much more than Paolo's when I believe, or Paolo's. Well, I keep saying it Paolo. Anyway, I think that Banchero is going to be.
Did you see the Paolo Banchero video I sent you guys?
Yeah, the one where the guy interviewed him thinking he was Patrick Mahomes.
He's Patrick Mahomes. And not only that, just once he realizes he's not, just thinks that he's like some random teenager that he's interviewing.
So, but I'm trying to make that argument. I'm not sure it's making sense as it's coming out, but I think the margin of potential greatness between the two of them is close enough to take that, what in my opinion is the safer pick between the two of them. So I love Mancaro's, like, his athleticism. I love the way he plays offensively. I think his shooting is questionable. His defense, I think, the motor for the whole time. But those are things that a lot of times in the NBA, I mean, it's, yeah, I guess it's 50-50. They either get exposed dramatically or they become something that they can be attributed to just a lack of effort in the college game or a lack of, you know, really care on that end. And so I don't know. I really like him. Like, that would be for me the dream scenario. So I don't love Chet. I know there's a lot of, and this podcast is a very Chet heavy podcast, but
speaking of the dream scenario, you can drink it at the Jones and you can go and buy it at Lively Beer Works.
There you go. That's true.
And you can probably buy it this week at some liquor stores, and it's very good. You should try it.
Yeah, it is very good.
I don't disagree with you, Jay, that adding Paolo to this team next year, I mean, I think he fits in pretty quickly. I think that he adds an element that the Thunder don't have at the four, and he's just a beast. He's a monster. I think he's like simultaneously, like, I think one of like the heaviest guys in the first that's going to go in round one. But also, like, pretty light on his feet, because when you watch him play, he doesn't play heavy.
You know, no, he's not Zion.
He plays with like power, but he doesn't look heavy. But he's like, they list him at 250.
Jeez. Like, how tall is he?
He's 6'10". So he's a big 6'10". Dog. He's a big dog.
Big boy.
I do remember watching, even just watching some of his high school highlights, I was just struck by. I don't know, his athleticism, explosion. I don't know. He just looks like an NBA ready athlete, which obviously Chet does not outside of height. But Chet has so many other things going for him. I love Chet's motor, his competitiveness. I think he's probably got the highest level of competitiveness out of the guys I've watched in the first round. I think there is a ton of potential with him as well. His body is just terrifying to me.
Yeah.
What's funny to me though, is if the Thunder get two and Chet is there, they take Chet, and then they're decent enough to where they get the eighth best odds or the ninth best odds, and then they somehow luck out in the lottery and get number one, and then they get Wembanyama. And so it's like Wembanyama, Chet, Poku, Giddy. You know, it's like the freakiest lineup of players.
Team. Be amazing. God, that would be amazing. I'd be so happy if something like that.
And that's what's kind of the good, not good news, but one of the possibilities, even if the Thunder aren't as bad as they were this year, which I know Sam kind of left it up to, you know, if they're the number one ranked team by Christmas, then maybe we'll keep playing. But if not, you know,
they're a title contender by Christmas.
Yeah, if they're a title contender by Christmas, we'll keep playing. But if not, we're going to develop all these guys that won't be on the team in a year. So, but if there are like numerous instances in the history of the lottery where teams that did land in that 8, 9, 10 range have jumped up. I mean, the Pelicans, when they got Zion, did. I mean, even the Grizzlies in that same year were expected to get that high of odds. And so there's always potential. So they need some luck, especially next Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great to get a little bit of luck because, I mean, outside of those three, I would be comfortable with any of those three. If you're in the top three, you're just happy that you're going to get one of those bigs. And then from there, I mean, people are all over the place with all of these guys. Like, nobody has a definitive board of who.
Who are you seeing above Jaden Ivey?
I mean, I think some people would take the risk of taking Sharp above him. I think some people would do that. I don't know. I watch Ivey, and I think he's good. I just don't know that. Like, is he 100% going to be better than Johnny Davis? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Johnny Davis destroyed him in the regular season in college. I mean, killed him. And like defensively, offensively, he was way better than him in that game. It's like, okay. And you don't want to make it all about one matchup, but like that matchup happened, like that game happened. And are we sure that Jaden Ivey is going to shoot it at the next level? You know, are we sure that a guard that just refuses to use his left hand is going to be great in the NBA? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I have a lot of, everybody has like big question marks after those three, including Jaden Ivey, in my opinion. He's just like the most explosive, like best with the ball and like most explosive. And it's like, okay, I guess I'll take that because I've seen that working in the NBA right now. But I don't know. I don't know that he's going to be the best guy out of that group, out of like the Johnny Davis. I don't know. I really just don't know.
Why do draft boards change so much from the tournament, right after the tournament, until, you know, the players start working out? Like, is it just that people are bored or people are watching more video after the tournament, or what's going on?
Vecini actually addressed that. Mm-hmm. I think him and Penny did on one of the podcasts. And he says it's just, you get time to kind of let more of the emotional side of it settle a little bit. You get more time to invest in the longer stretch of film, right? Versus just, hey, I'm catching this part and watching some of this. And he said that opinions kind of shift based on those things. And then some of it is workouts as well that people are seeing. I know we don't put a lot of stock in workouts, but, you know, all of that stuff. And then you start hearing the words about what people are thinking. Because that's the other thing, is a lot of these guys are tapped in. And Andrew, you obviously correct any of this stuff, but
no, you're right.
A lot of these guys are tapped into GMs and different scouts. And so what they hear begins to shift or change, you know. So all of that impacts the way that they end up evolving after the tournament.
Yeah, because you start hearing from people around the league about, oh, this GM definitely likes this guy. or this GM, if he drew number one, would never take this guy, you know? And I've heard a couple of those things this week, just talking to people about like specific GMs that are in the lottery and who they would and wouldn't take, you know?
Ooh, what did they say? Can you say at least what you heard, not the names?
After the pod, I'll tell you.
You can't even just say a general.
So I feel like it's also, every time I watch these two players play, I always think about Andrew's skill when it comes to scouting these guys. And so right now in the second round of the NBA playoffs, you have two guys that Andrew was like especially high on in the 2019 draft, which if you listen to Monday, it's already been spoiled, but Andrew was so high on Grant Williams and Brandon Clark heading up to the draft, which both of them were in a range that the Thunder could have gotten, which I don't really know. I think they would have been good on this team. Obviously, Brandon, both of them are a little bit older, and so they went with Bazley, who was like, I think, 14 when he was drafted. And so
right.
It makes sense what the Thunder kind of did what they did. But at that point, we maybe thought that they were building with this Paul George Russ team.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, Brandon Clark would have been awesome. You know, with that team immediately almost. And so anyway, just shout outs to Andrew and his incredible work scouting. So make sure you trust everything he says.
Thanks, Jamon. Yeah, I love
except for Jalen Suggs. But except go for
Jalen Suggs. I know. Hoopstock 69 loves to get on every single podcast that I'm on and make sure that I know that Jalen Suggs stinks.
That you know that he knows that you said that.
Yeah, exactly.
Time will tell.
It's so good. I'm super pumped for this lottery and for this draft. It's going to be such a weird draft. I think that the like 5 through 15, like who knows what the order is going to be. Like some people love Jeremy Sochan and think that he is going to be, should be in like the top 10. Some people don't think that he should be at all. Some people think Dyson Daniels should be the, you know, a top 5 pick. Some people, I mean, it's just, the opinions are just all over the place. And, well,
and that's kind of encouraging. So if AJ Griffin is there at 7, and
he very much will be there. And in fact, like I wouldn't put it out of the question that he's there at 12.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to use him as like an example. So if let's say, I don't know. I mean, think about anybody that you may think of, Johnny Davis or the kid from Arizona, Mathurin, or even Jalen Duren, or if anybody's in that 8, 9, 7, 6 range, like if there's a team that isn't super jacked about somebody in the Thunder, like, hey, we really think Keegan Murray would be a great fit with what we're putting together here. I think having that, I don't know, kind of nebulous ranking in the 5 to 15 sets up where it's hard. We know it's hard for teams to move up, but could the Thunder expend that future Wizards pick that they got last year and say, hey, we're going to give this plus 12 for, you know, 7 to get whichever guy we're excited about that's still kind of there, knowing that the team at 8 is going to get it. Like there's more chance since there is such a mixed bag between 5 and 12, or I mean, 4, I think there's a little bit like Keegan and Jaden feel like they're into that kind of tier themselves. And then it kind of trails off, but I don't know. I think that at least gives it to where there could be some movement on draft night.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if you're landing in the top 3 or 4, you're probably staying. You know, maybe those picks could move depending on who people like. You know, if somebody draws number one and the Thunder are just convinced they have to have Chet Holmgren, like maybe they would move back for like a future pick or something to get one of the other guys and just say, like, yeah, we're taking Chet, or you can give us a pick, you know. You know, I could see something like that happening, but I'd be surprised if anybody traded out of the top 3. But then, yeah, like to get from 12 to 9, like you could probably do that. You know, just call the Spurs and say, hey, we'd like to flip an asset to you, and you can pick at 12. And the Spurs are like, great, we like the guys that are at 12 anyways.
Yeah, or as much. Yeah. Well, and that, so think about going back in draft history, the trade that got Doncic to the Mavericks was kind of, because that was, wasn't it? Oh gosh, I don't even remember who. Oh, so it was
Ayton Bagley, Luka,
Trae Young, or was it Luka then Trae Young? anyway, but they, the Dallas Mavericks had somewhere in there, and they traded a bunch of assets to get up to get Luka.
Yeah.
They traded with the Hawks.
The Hawks traded back so they could get an extra pick. And Jaren Jackson.
Didn't they trade back to six, or was it four?
It was five. So the Mavs traded from 5 to 3 with their first round pick for the next year and mm-hmm. the fifth pick. So they could get Trae Young.
Who went number 4 that year?
JJJ.
JJJ.
And then the
pick, that's the draft next week, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 2018.
Mm-hmm, 2018. And then they took Cam Reddish with that Mavs pick, which ended up being mm-hmm. the 10th pick. Which is like, like a redo.
And I was thinking there was another one. Oh, the Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum one too, right? That was a trade in the top 2 or 3.
Yeah, that was the 2017. Yeah, 2017. Yeah, that is a wild one to think about. Because they could, imagine Tatum with Embiid. Yeah. And imagine what do the Celtics do? Like I heard they really like Josh Jackson, or I don't know what they would do. Or maybe things work out better for Fultz if he's in a better situation, or a situation that's more palatable for him. Not that, I don't know, the Boston would be that though. But yeah, that draft doesn't look quite as good the further away you get from it, until you get to like the middle of the first round, honestly. Because like the top of that draft, Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Tatum, Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, Jonathan Isaac, top 6.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so scary about the upcoming draft. Like, we just never know. You can get number 1 pick and blow it.
That's the way it goes, bro.
It's scary.
That's the way it goes, bro.
The draft is a scary thing.
One of the hard parts is 2021 was such a loaded draft.
It was loaded, and for the most part, teams did the right things. You know, yep. I don't know.
Yeah, the guys that needed to move back, the guys that probably should have moved back some spots moved back, and the guys who probably should have moved up actually moved up. Mm-hmm. Seemed like everyone made the right pick.
Yeah.
Well, and I agree with what you all said about the Magic. Is the Magic was the only one that messed up in the top 10, but they actually end up accidentally getting it right, because Franz Wagner should have been the guy they picked at 5, mm-hmm. and then Suggs at 9 makes sense, or whatever Wagner ended up going. Yeah. I really like that analysis. I thought it was helpful. So, but it does set sets your expectations for this one. Be like, if the Thunder get 7, we're going to be like, hey, listen, Josh Giddey. Right?
Yeah.
Josh Giddey. Kuminga was 7. You know, look what he's doing. We got this.
Frank Ntilikina went 8th. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. Don't go too far on how much it falls off the rails.
Oh, boy. Let's take quick break, and then we will come back, and we're going to answer some questions from Reddit. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs, because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back from that quick break. We're going to answer some questions from Reddit. We don't have a Reddit questions drop. You have one, Luke?
Reddit questions.
All right. Our first Reddit question comes from DHR7468. He wants to know which of these three are most likely to develop. 1, Chet's strength. 2, Paolo's defense. Or 3, Jabari's handle. Most likely to develop.
Most likely.
I feel like I have to kind of, I've already planted my flag in this, so I'll say Paolo's defense.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so too. I think there's a lot of guys, and I don't ask me to name them. I just know the feeling. I feel like there's a lot of guys that come out of college that people don't think are good at defense, and then they get an NBA system, and it seems to work out a little bit better. To play more ISO man defense, not, you know, switching. I feel like it's a lot different. And the guys that are super athletic can kind of figure it out in the NBA. And that goes both ways for sure. But
I think it was KOC that mentioned this in his mock draft about, because one of them had Paolo going to Oklahoma City. And he said the expectation that Oklahoma City puts on their guys to play defense and the way that they coach them in that way makes it to where it would be the right fit to get the fullest extent of what he could do on the defensive end. And so that's, I kind of, that's at least why I lean that way a little bit.
Yeah. I buy that too. I don't know what kind of star power he holds once he gets in the league, Paolo Banchero. I don't know. I don't know if they selected him and he gets here and game one, Mark Degnall sees him blow a rotation and he's like, yeah, you're out. Like, you're sitting out for the rest of the half. Like, how does that fly with his representation? You know, like with Trey Mann, like, I guess, can you Trey Mann Paolo Banchero? Like, is the question. Like, I don't know.
I mean, Trey Mann's the one that is most notable for being called out by Coach Degnault. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really hear stories about him getting mad at other players, and I'm sure he does, but Trey Mann seems to be the number one guy.
I feel like he gets mad at Poku all the time.
Definitely.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. But both of those guys, I mean, it's hard to watch defense for us and to know if someone's actually like making the right rotation or not. But those two guys are pretty easy to see that they're bad at defense. And I feel like if we can see that they're bad at defense,
yeah,
they're probably like really bad at defense in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paolo, I mean, that I'm just saying that's quite a floor for a guy of his stature and athleticism and everything he can do. And it's like, I wouldn't expect him to be that bad at defense.
I would say this. How good he is offensively will determine how good he is going to be defensively. Because if he's going to be a really, really good offensive player, like if he's your number one guy, he comes into the league and it's apparent after like 3 weeks that like, holy smokes, Paolo Banchero is the number one guy. I would not count on him being a good defender in the NBA. Because it is rare that a guy who has his kind of reputation comes into the NBA, is a guy that can carry an offense and then can also do it on both ends. It is extremely rare. Maybe the Thunder can do it. I think about a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who plays for a very good defensive coach, very good defensive system, has routinely gotten worse on defense every year.
But then you have guys like then you have Devin Booker and you have Jason Tatum, though.
Yeah. Which way do they go? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... It's possible that he gets better. I just don't know that I would like count on it. You know what I mean? But if he's just like, if he's like your second best player and you don't need him to carry the offense, and like Shea carries the offense and Giddy carries the offense, and he's like a play finisher and a facilitator at the elbow and stuff like that. And like, I could see him like locking in a little bit more because he's like, I need to contribute more in other areas, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would say Chet's strength. I mean, it's an easy one because like everybody gets stronger in the NBA, you know?
Like, well, just in humanity, like just life. In humanity.
I'm way stronger than I was when I was 20, you know? Like he's going to get stronger.
We have yet to see that with Poku though.
Oh yeah, he is.
Oh, he's a lot. He's quite a bit stronger than he was when he first got here. Go look back at some of those preseason games when he first got here. Just go take a look. It's not like he's.
If he's
worlds better, but he's different.
He's got thick. His legs have gotten bigger, and his whole bottom.
Oh yeah, he's got a donkey now. He does have a dump. He's got a dump trunk.
He can actually play in an NBA game though. He's strong enough too.
That cake.
Yeah, he's got a body like a Pixar mom.
Fluky wants to know, has Fred Katz ever called any one of you fat?
Not to my face.
I did. I called you fat.
Not to my face. Did you guys see this? The Steven Adams thing that happened last night?
Yeah.
Pretty funny. If you haven't seen it, Fred Katz was talking to Steven Adams and asking him a question about him being a large person, but Steven Adams wouldn't let him really ask the question. He just kept asking him what he meant by him being a big guy, and then Steven Adams called him a wanker, and then like the line of questioning stopped.
So, I loved. So I read the transcription of that before I saw the video. And what I really liked about the transcription, is that the correct word?
Yeah.
Okay. What I really liked about that was it heard him say fit because of his accent saying fat.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I can read this in his accent.
Yeah. I also love Kyle Anderson in the video. Did you guys see Kyle Anderson?
Just kind of giggling the whole time. Well, I can see Kyle and Steve being good buddies.
They just lost game 4 too. And Jaws, I think they say he's out for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, he's questionable the rest of the playoffs. Yeah, he won't play. It's a bummer.
Sad. I hate that.
Yeah, it's bad. Brussels Sprouts Brooke wants to know, would you trade Josh Giddey straight up for any of the prospects in this upcoming draft? Do I get to keep my pick too?
I don't think so.
Then what are we doing?
You get to keep your pick. But you trade someone their pick straight up for Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
So basically, would you trade Josh Giddey?
I would probably trade him for one of the top three guys. Yeah.
If you had a chance to keep three and then trade Giddey for one, right? Yeah. Or get one and trade Giddey for three, you're probably doing that.
Okay, what if it's you keep 12, but you trade Giddey just for one of those guys?
No,
I don't know.
Okay,
so
we keep 12. So that's the question. The question isn't you lose your pick and.
Yeah, that's not the question.
Oh, okay.
Where would Giddey go in this draft?
Where would Giddey go? I feel like we need a
based on what we know now.
An L-Man song.
Yeah,
about where would Giddey go?
Yeah, I mean, that is hard because it's different, like coming from the NBL versus what we know of the NBA.
Four or five, probably. Like, I don't know that you take him over Paolo. You might take him over Jaden Ivey, knowing what we know now. That's probably about where he would go.
I feel like there's so much value, even just seeing how someone plays in the NBA for 1 year. Like, it is way more valuable than. Than like just taking a top three guy based on potential and stuff we think about them from college. Going back to like, you really don't know how these guys are going to turn out in the NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd put him, you got to put him I'll put him top two. He won't be number one overall because number one overall, you got to take a big swing. Like if you have the number one pick and you're like, you know what? I'm going to trade it for this guy that is like already kind of good. He's probably not the number one overall. It's just a you lose all credibility, I think, if you would do that. But I'd take him too.
Well, that's why you never see it. You know? True. You're taking the swing.
12-foot jump shot wants to know if Shea and Giddy are average defenders at best, how important is it that our other three starters are above average to elite level defenders? If we drafted a guy like Paolo and he wasn't able to become a plus defender, can you get away with that sort of lineup in the playoffs?
I think it poses challenges, obviously. The Thunder did show the ability. I mean, they didn't have anybody really playing inside and still had a pretty good defense for a vast majority of the season. So they do have the ability to scheme. Some of that can get found out in the playoffs. But I know Giddy, both of them know that they have to develop a more consistent defensive game. And that's just one of the hardest things to evaluate, I think, in this season, especially going back to kind of what you said about these guys that are elite offensive players, that they struggle to be defensively minded as well. I think Shea has that tendency where he's just constantly going for his offensive game that he maybe struggles or lacks on the defensive end. But Shea has been a good defender from time to time, but it's not consistent.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think there is hope, though, in that we saw them become a good defensive team during stretches of this past season without elite defenders. So you don't have to have like top tier elite defenders, but you have to have some, and you have to have a good defensive big man. You know, we see that with Boston. You know, they've got good, they've got solid defenders all over the court. They have a great defender in Marcus Smart. You know, Horford's good. Time Lord's good. Like you do have to have good defenders. Yeah. And yeah, Banchero poses some challenges, like you said, but I don't know. I think you can figure stuff out. If somebody, he's got enough athleticism and he's shown a willingness at times to lock in. You know, it's not like he never plays defense. It's not like he's incapable of doing it. So that's why I don't
tired realize. From the past of the Thunder team. Having like a defensive specialist who cannot. Can you hear me?
We keep losing you.
Hello. Sorry. I'm from the history of the Thunder team. I'm tired of having like a defensive specialist who cannot shoot.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that. You know, give me a guy who can shoot, who is, you know, just can be there and, you know, not a terrible defender. And I'd rather have that.
Yeah. So. The Dort's like the closest thing we've had to like a guy that can defend at a high level and score.
Yeah, Dort's what we've always been looking for and needed in those old teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you replace him with, you know, Andre Robertson, and those teams are, you know, great.
Yeah. Maximum Grapefruit 9-3-3. Who would you be the most realistic player you guys would be least excited about OKC reaching on at 12, since that seems to be the MO in recent years? Giddy, Bays, Poku, even going back to Cameron Payne. Any players at 12 that you would not be excited for the Thunder to take? Walker Kessler.
You've been out on Ty.
Yeah, I wouldn't be super excited about him. I think that there's better options. Other guys I wouldn't be excited about. I wouldn't be super pumped for Mark Williams. I think that he's gonna be a guy that plays in the NBA. Like, I don't have any doubt about that. But like, your positional versatility with Mark Williams is non-existent. So I wouldn't be excited about that. Other than that, like, there's a lot of guys in this area of the draft that I kind of like. Like, Usman Jang would be really interesting. Malachi Branham, I think, would be intriguing. I don't know if Johnny Davis falls that far. I'd be excited about that. Jeremy Sohan, if they liked him. Mathurin.
What do you think about the kid from Kansas?
Abaji?
Yeah.
He's old is the first thing I always think about Abaji. Yeah, he's
22 years old. But
I worry about his defense. I like his shot making. I don't know. If they liked him, I would be excited about it. If the Thunder liked him, I would be excited about him. There's actually like quite a few guys in this area that I like that I think would be fun. And there's a lot of wings too, and a lot of like shooting guard wings that are in this area of the draft that I hope that they take one of those guys instead of like settling for a center just because they need a center. Because
yeah, that doesn't feel very like the way Sam is creating this team. I would be shocked if they looked at positional need at that point.
Yeah,
like I guess positional need is kind of a wing is always a positional need, but I'm like going for a center just because you're like, well, we got this hole in the middle. I'm like, no. Like, mm-hmm. Especially when you get to that point and most of the guys that are there are pretty one dimensional. Like I like Mark Williams if this was 1995.
I know. Even if it's 2010.
Yeah. He's got tons of athleticism. I think he's got a lot of skill around the basket.
In 2010, he probably goes like number eight.
Yes. And I have no desire to do Walker Kessler. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm out. Lindsay Corporation. The draft lottery is on 5/17/22. 5 + 17 = 22. How does this benefit the Thunder, L-Man?
Oh my gosh. 22 - 22 = 0. That's really as far as I've got. Means there's a 0% chance that the Thunder mess up this draft. Right?
In erratic ESPN, so by this point, it's pretty obvious that one of the reasons Kevin Durant left is because he was sick of hearing the Thunderstruck song by AC/DC at every home game. What song should become the new official song for the Thunder?
I know. Uh-huh. Garth Brooks' Thunder Rolls.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Bweek wants to know. Mikey and Andrew talk a lot in their redrafts about picks falling into good situations. Are there any particular guys later in this upcoming draft that you think could pan out better in OKC than anywhere else?
I'm still I'm still interested in Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Mm, yeah.
I think he should go back to school and transfer. I think he should go one more year.
Go to Duke. Go somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. Tankathon has him mocked at 24.
Yeah. I would take him at 30.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would take. I would definitely not take him at 12.
No. But if you could put, and this is not a reality, but if you put 30 and would it have 34 together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you, you know, maybe. Is there somebody up there that, you know.
Maybe so. Yeah. I think that's possible. Yeah, I think about really young players that have like high ceilings but lower floors. I mean, like Usman Jang is one of those guys. I think about Dyson Daniels a little bit. I think that he needs a good situation, like a good incubator. And the Thunder aren't the only one. You know, the Thunder aren't the only like good situation out there in the NBA. I think that the Pistons are a good situation for a young player. I think that the Pelicans have become a really good situation for a young player. I think the Hornets just fired their coach, so I don't know that you can call them a good situation for a young player, but the Spurs are always a good situation for a young player. The Grizzlies, who have the 22nd pick in this draft, like there's the Heat of the 27th pick. There's good situations out there, not just the Thunder. But I do think that it is an advantage that the Thunder have where you can take somebody that, toward the top of the draft that might need a little bit more time, a little bit more effort, and feel like you at least give them a better chance. It doesn't always mean it works. Like we're seeing it with Poku. Is it going to work with Poku? Like, we still don't know if it will, but there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot of guys. It's going to be dependent on where they land. Like, Malachi Branham's still 18. He's going to be in the draft. He's a really interesting prospect. And if he gets selected by the Kings at 7, you don't feel super awesome about that. Or even the Knicks at 11. It's like, all right, I don't know. I don't know if that's a great situation for them. I would say guys from 5 to 15 are all going to need a good situation, going to need a good landing spot for it to really work for them. I don't think that any of them have just talent that's going to surpass, you know, what an organization can give them. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's see. We cannot answer all the questions, but we do thank you guys for sending these in. H9M8, I think this is supposed to say Hamburglar, but with numbers in there. Who's your favorite fit between Keegan Murray, Ben Mathurin, and AJ Griffin? What do you think, Jamon?
So I don't know why I'm so down on Keegan Murray, because it's not based on any reality. I think it's just because it's like this weird consolation prize of like, hey, you didn't get, you know, in my mind, I'm like the top four with Jaden Ivey. Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for. And then it's like, and Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
But hearing Alex talk about him the other day on the podcast and just kind of the way the NCAA narrative turned around him towards the end of the season, I don't know. There are some things about him that are incredibly encouraging. And so AJ Griffin or Mathurin, I'm super intrigued by Griffin though. Mm-hmm. Like I always have been. And I know there's a lot of people thinking he's sliding, which I don't know enough to know why that would be happening, but I don't know. His athleticism, his weird shot, but it was going in. He's super young. I mean, the youngest guy in the draft, right?
I think he's the second youngest. I think Duren's younger.
You know, and he's got good height. I don't know. I think that's the guy I'm probably the most intrigued with. I don't know enough about Mathurin, to be honest. Like, Arizona, I don't know why, but it's like any Pac-12 school, I've never really been able to pay much attention to their – a lot of times they play late, and, you know, you only have so much margin during the tournament, so.
Yeah. Mathurin's interesting because – where AJ is not explosive, like he feels heavy when he's on the court.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mathurin's like light as feather, like running up and down the court. He dunks the ball as much as possible. He can really shoot it. He's a pretty good passer. He's undisciplined as a defender, and needs a lot of work there, but I would say he probably has a higher ceiling than AJ does.
Okay.
But I think AJ is a better shooter than Mathurin is. And AJ, like their stories are so different as like their upbringing. Like AJ, his dad's is Adrian Griffin, you know, coached in the NBA for a long time, coached here with OKC for a little while. Very stable environment. Ben Mathurin had a very unstable environment that he grew up in. Eventually went to the, I can't remember what they call it, but it's like the NBA Academy in Mexico City. And that's where he kind of became a prospect. And it was kind of like a last ditch effort to like get him on track as an athlete. So
he's also Canadian from Montreal, just like Dort.
He is Canadian.
What if they just went Mathurin and Shaden Sharp and called it a day?
You take the two. I mean, I wouldn't hate that because you get the two most athletic, like high upside wings in the top 10. And you just hope that one of them works. You know, like that's not a bad, I would be surprised if they did that, but that's not a bad way to go about it. It's like, hey, let's just take two athletic wings. We're glad if one works out to be a really good player. And if they both end up being good players, like you have two like freak athletic wings that can shoot it. Like you're pretty,
there's a way worse place to be than that.
Yeah. You're in a really good spot. Let's see. You addressed this earlier. Raquilix wants to know, do we have a chance of getting Victor Wembanyama? I mean, we got a chance. I think they'll be in the lottery.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mother
under. What are they? Is there like five or six guys, though, in the next year's draft that probably be in the top three this year?
Yeah, I don't know enough, to be honest, about that class or about those guys to be able to say for sure. But that the people act like there's a lot of really good players in next year's draft. So, but things change. Things can change in both ways, where sometimes it feels, and especially in last year's draft, people are like, there are 8 or 9 franchise changing players in that class. And there ended up being a lot of franchise changing players in that class, but they picked the wrong guys. You know, like Brandon Boston was one of the guys that people thought would be, you know, a top 5 pick. So it's just hard this far out to know who is who. Mother_scheme_4639. Will there be a May 17th live stream before the lottery, like in the morning? No. There will not. But we'll try to live stream that night, and then I will trust me, you will have a lot of content coming at you over the next few days. We'll do a Down to Dunk episode, obviously, afterwards. And then I'm going to do a Slam and Jam lottery recap too. That'll be on the Athletic NBA show feed for that next day too. So lots of lottery content, post lottery content.
Not a lot of sleeping
coming at you. Sure. Not a lot of sleeping.
Yeah, get your sleep now, Andy.
Taylor, he's back.
Hey. I'm back. I had my baby.
Let's see.
I had a baby.
Darth JJ, the jet plane. Number one, how many points would Mike Muscala average this season on 32 minutes per game? Just a funny question to me. Here's the thing with Muscala is that...
I would say 14, though. 14.6.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Does it, though? That seems like a
32
lot.
32 minutes?
That seems like a lot. What was he? Let me look at his per 36.
Dude, I mean, we didn't have a lot of... We didn't, you know, have a...
Let me read you his per 36 numbers this year. Okay. Best of his career. 20.9 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block
per game. Why is he not playing 36 minutes then?
Per 100 possessions, he is 28-10.
Wow. We've got a star.
Yeah. I actually asked Mark Degnall about this during the season, about Mike. And what's the deal? What's going on here? What are we doing? I was telling him, just ask him about the lineup data. And can you explain this to me? Mike Muscala is apparently the best player ever, and so is Kenrich Williams. How is that possible? And he's like, listen, I don't buy it. He's like, he really doesn't buy into that stuff. He knows, I am putting Mike Muscala in the best situation possible and he can mm-hmm. go out there and play his heart out for 14 minutes and then come sit down, and we're going to get him the right shots. We're going to put him in the right position. Things are going to be perfect for him. But can we create that same situation for him over the course of 25 minutes? Probably not. Can he play with the same energy on defense for 25 minutes or 30 minutes instead of 12 or 14 minutes? No, he can't. And in fact, like we found out later, like part of the reason that he couldn't play in very big minutes is because of his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just funny. I mean, he had an outlier year of like great play. And, you know, if he could play like that when we need a player like that to come off the bench and like games of consequence, like he'd be great. You know, just to have a center that could come off the bench and shoot the basketball, like that's a really handy player to just have coming off the bench.
He did have Muscala in some closing lineups when they were trying to win at that point in the season.
He did.
You know, and then he was not in closing lineups when everyone was hurt at the same time.
Yeah.
And when he wasn't hurt as well, I know he was hurt from time to time too, but there were times when Coach Degnault chose to not put him in because he was a little too good. He may have hit three threes in a row, because there were a lot of games where he came in and he really did that.
He did. And if you are a Jabari Smith guy, like, look no further than what Mike Muscala can do for your team.
Damn. You don't like Jabari Smith, huh?
I do. What I'm saying is that if you're a Jabari Smith guy and you think that Mike Muscala has an impact on this team, look, just wait to see what a guy like Jabari could do. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I thought you were comping him to Mike Muscala.
No. What I'm saying is that a big that can shoot it like that, and maybe his handle and his feel never get any better than they are today. I think they'll get better because, mm-hmm. I mean, he's really young. He's still 18 right now. If a big that can really shoot it like that can change things for the Thunder, like you can make the argument that based on what Mike Muscala was able to do as far as spacing for Shai and Giddey and how much it helped, like Jabari's easily the guy that you should draft. You know, this is why I lean Chet, but I could be talked into any of the three. Like if an expert, somebody that's watched more than me, that has seen more than me, that has talked to all these guys, tried to sell me on one of them, like you could sell me. Just because I think they all bring like a really unique skill set that could be very useful.
We talk about JJJ and how he seems to have not blossomed into the full player that we thought he was going to be after his first year in the NBA.
Yeah.
So do you see Jabari Smith actually being that player, like who we thought JJJ was going to be?
The problem is that like JJJ wasn't what he was like becoming at Michigan State. Like he was like more of like a bully ball player, and he still is that to an extent. Like
you definitely have seen that more in this Golden State series.
Loves to go left, loves to get to the rim, loves that spin move to the left. He was more of that, and like known as like a shot blocker and stuff like that. Where Jabari has been like, he's a shooter. Like he's a real shooter. Yeah. And we didn't. I think that people were surprised at how fast JJJ shot the three ball once he got to the mm-hmm. NBA. I think they thought that he had it, but didn't know that he would be a guy that could take seven threes in a playoff game, you know, in the first part of his career.
Well, and Jabari, if you've watched his mechanics on his jump shot, is just about flawless.
Yeah.
Which JJJ still kind of got a weird wind up, take some time getting that ball out.
Yeah. It does not look
Jabari's beautiful jump shot.
Yeah.
Like it really is pretty startling for a guy that's 6'10 and like 18 or 19 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say look no further when you're thinking about Jabari Smith and Alexei Pokuševski. Also beautiful shot mechanics, big guy, graceful on his feet.
Donkey.
Got a dumper.
Donkey dumper.
let's see. Any other questions? I'll try to hop on here and answer some of these too, if I have some time. Let's see. What's the worst offer you'd consider accepting for pick 12 in Dort?
The worst offer I would consider? How can I even imagine that? I don't know. Crackers? What's worse than that? Dirt?
But you wouldn't consider that.
Yeah, I would consider it.
Okay, how many crackers are you talking?
I would say like...
How much dirt?
I would say like pick 9 is probably like the worst offer that I would consider, depending on who's there. Yeah,
top 10 pick.
Yeah. Randy's Speedo wants to know.
I completely misunderstood that question.
Yep.
Yeah, you did. You did good. Good job. Did we sell too low on Horford or Chris Paul?
I've thought about that this week.
We called Presti a failure in our group text. All of us did, and we all agreed.
He failed. L-Man, give us your thoughts.
It's a little, Al Horford having, a great game, Chris Paul. People have been talking about, the guys that come to Oklahoma City get traded away and then are just, that people had counted them out, and now they're kicking a tail. And so it's a little frustrating thinking they could be doing that for our team. But I've had to tell myself multiple times, it's going to be better, that we will be better in, 5-6 years than we would be now with them.
That's the hope.
That's the hope. And that's, man, it just makes me nervous for the lottery, for the draft, because you don't know. And they're such... really, just known commodities.
Yeah.
I do think that what's important to remember about both of those guys is that Houston had to give picks to get rid of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Right? So
his own owner said that was the worst contract in the league.
Yeah. He's the worst owner in maybe the NBA now. But so the fact that they got anything, even though Chris was fantastic in the year that he was here, and you couldn't really bank on it being 30. You didn't think that Chris would make that much of an immediate impact. No. But they just did a good job of building around him, adding Jay Crowder. Obviously, the jump that Bridges took, the jump that Ayton took.
It was a perfect situation.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And then, wrong to think that Horford, Philadelphia had to give up a pick for us to take Horford.
Yeah, they did.
I guess Danny Green was in that too.
You got to think that there are guys on what people consider bad contracts that are just telling their agents, get me to Oklahoma City. Let me do that same thing. And, I want to, turn my career around, show people what I still have.
Well, it's not.
Do you think if they let Kemba Walker play that this would have happened with him? Do you think the issue was Kemba Walker didn't, there's a certain amount of minutes you have to hit while playing for OKC? For that to kick in, for the magic to kick in.
Well, I think the Thunder have a good idea of the kind of player that they're getting when they acquire them. And obviously Kemba was not going to work anywhere, this year. He did not get the good Thunder juju when he went to the Knicks. Chris Paul obviously had a lot left in the tank. He was willing to change his diet. He was willing to change a lot of things about his life in order to, really change his career trajectory. Mm-hmm. And some of that was the Thunder. Some of it wasn't. Some of that was just Chris. Horford, at his age, getting to rest the amount that he did really was very helpful to him, that's very valuable to a guy like that. And, you can make fun of the Thunder for doing what they did. But, if he would have played in all these meaningless games with the Thunder the rest of the season after Shea couldn't play, couldn't and didn't play. What good does that do for his career? Mm-hmm. And so, the Thunder will do right by these veterans. Is it all about the Thunder? No. Is Derek Favors going to go on to have a great you know, resurgence somewhere. Like, I don't think so. I do think that these are two special players. I think we have to recognize that. Like, Chris Paul and Al Horford are, like, special NBA players.
Would you say Horford was, in his prime, was he ever considered, like, a top 10 guy?
No.
Like, best Horford so. Year.
Let me, I had this question on Slam and Jam this week.
I honestly can't remember. He was a top 20 player for sure.
Tell me this.
For a while.
How, so he had, this will be our final thing before we go. Al Horford, and you may know the answer to this if you've already listened to Slam and Jam by this time. Al Horford scored 30 points in a playoff game. That's a playoff career high. Mm-hmm. How many times, he's played almost 1,000 NBA games. How many times has he scored 30 points in his entire career?
Oh, God. It's going to be really low.
950 regular season games.
On the regular season?
Yeah. 950 regular season games. How many times has he scored 30 or more points?
Twice.
I would say seven times.
I would say 20 times.
L-Man is closest. It's 8 times. 8.
Well, oh my God. I'm he's the made, biggest historian of the game.
He's made all-star teams. Isn't that wild? Like, Al Horford's a good player, but to play that many games and to have only scored 30 points 8 times in the regular
especially
season?
Because you do think of him, like, in the Hawks days as an offensive player.
He's a good offensive player. Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't just this crazy good defensive player that, you know, he just played a lot of minutes, so he compiled some points. Like, yeah. You thought of him as a skilled offensive player.
Yeah, without a doubt. I thought that blew my mind when I looked that up.
That is blowing me.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that after that Florida team, he's the only one left.
Yeah.
Really?
Noah, Brewer, like, those two guys came in with Horford in the same draft and were part of those two championships. And
even Corey Brewer got a 50-point game.
He did.
50 burger.
Yep. Torian Green.
50 burger.
Yeah. All right. This is the last Fry Pod before we know what pick we're going to have. So next Friday, we will be able to talk definitively about where the Thunder will be picking. We'll be able to make predictions about who we think that they'll have. Whew.
I'm about to dunk.
I'm pretty nervous. I'm pretty nervous about this. I'm pretty excited.
Everyone needs to go, that is listening, needs to go to the Jones next.
Everyone.
This upcoming Tuesday, 6-9.
Everyone.
When Andrew said it. Listen, you don't want to watch. If you're a fan, you don't want to watch this by yourself at home.
No. Yeah. It's the lamest place to watch it. Easily.
Especially
lamest.
If you're home and you're wearing clothes. You don't want that.
True.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.